everybody, and welcome to Film Actually News for the 5th of March, 2012. I am Dave McVeigh, and we've got a full house today. I'm joined by Josh Philpott. How are you, Josh?
What? Huh? What's going on?
it's a bit that way, isn't it?
No, I'm good, man. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And returning Richard Gray. How are you, Richard?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay! We got a full compliment. First time in 3 weeks.
Right,
yay!
Calm down.
Yay!
It's not that exciting.
I think so.
All right, fine. It's exciting.
Fair enough.
Good to see Richard. I haven't seen Richard now for like 4 weeks.
And yet, I think it's been a year.
And yet the irony is you still can't see him.
Or so you think.
Ah, there you go.
I've been on eBay buying a high-powered telescope. That's where I spent the last week, bringing that back from the wilds of Adelaide.
All right.
Wild down in Adelaide.
Yeah, what do you do for a social life in Adelaide? That's the question.
Adelaide Fringe Festival was on. Best time of the year to go down there.
Uh-huh. Anything else?
Yeah,
it's Adelaide. Right, okay. We just lost all of our Adelaide listeners right there in one shot.
Well, there's only two of you, so. Look, I'll just say Adelaide, great city, even better when they finish it.
Oh man. Before we dig ourselves in any deeper, this is Film Actually News. This is where we take a look at the entertainment news for the week, and we don't take any of it too seriously. So let's move straight along.
Loud, fast, and under 30 minutes. Wasn't that the deal?
Or your money back. That's kind of the concept. Absolutely. So we'll see how we go. So Josh, you know what I am disappointed at, though? We don't have any Fox News stories this week.
Aw.
So we're not going to be treated to this.
The first one is an animated feature from Japan.
That's right. We're not going to have any of him today. But what we do have is Peter Weyland. There's a household name for you. He was at TED giving a talk. The only trick here is that it was actually in 2023, so it actually hasn't happened yet. This was a viral video that came out to promote Prometheus. And if you haven't seen the video, shoot over to Geek Actually. We've actually got it embedded. And I think you do it Real Bits as well, don't you?
Certainly do.
This is a really extravagant viral video. My question is this in the film or is this just made for this? Question? Answers?
Oh, for this. I thought this as in like you were about to load the trailer.
Quiet. I can do that right now.
Let's do that.
Lawrence. Eponymously of Arabia, but very much an Englishman, favored pinching a burning match between his fingers to put it out. When asked by his colleague, William Potter, to reveal his trick, how is it he so effectively extinguished the flame without hurting himself whatsoever, Lawrence just smiled and said, "The trick, Potter, is not minding it hurts."
There you go. So that, of course, is Guy Pearce playing Peter Weyland, the head of the Weyland Corporation. Now, if that sounds familiar, that is the corporation from the Alien franchise. Mm. And as we all know, Prometheus is a prequel to the Alien films. What did you guys think of this viral video?
I think it
Well, David, the trick is not minding that it hurts. Sorry.
And
you know, Josh.
I didn't have anything that was fantastic. I think it's interesting. I watched it the second time just before we kicked off the show, and I was like, huh. But it's kind of like it doesn't actually show you anything. It just talks about – it's kind of more of a character piece than anything.
Absolutely, and the whole thing is a hint towards the androids in the Alien films.
Absolutely.
So I think we're going to be seeing a few of those in Prometheus, yeah?
Possibly, but he seems to talk about it quite casually, like that's not the big thing. Like, if that was a normal TED talk, I would expect them to be talking about something completely different. Because he kind of says, we have androids that will look like humans soon, but doesn't really kind of leave that as sort of his main point. So I don't know, maybe it's something completely different.
It's going to be the iPhone 6.
The thing that I thought was most amazing, and we'll move on after this because we got a lot of news to cover this week. The thing I thought was amazing about this video was the fact that my mind has gone blank.
You were kidding.
I had a wild thought about this video and suddenly it's gone. It just went out of my head like that.
Well, then move on.
We'll come back to that thought. I can't believe it just went poof out of my head. Richard, tell me a little bit about Ralph McQuarrie.
Oh, well, he's dead.
Well, I knew that part, but tell us who Ralph McQuarrie is.
Ralph McQuarrie passed away this week. Very sad news. He was a concept artist, and as you were saying before the show, David, concept artists don't often become household names, but this concept artist designed the original artwork and pretty much the entire look of a little trilogy known as the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, I saw that once.
Yeah, a little indie film.
Well, it was. The first one was an independent film released by, all of them technically were, released by a small company called 20th Century Fox. Now, Ralph McQuarrie did the original concept art for Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. He did some really iconic imagery. Again, we were talking about this before the show, but probably one of his most famous paintings is Darth Vader holding the lightsaber and you know, facing off against what looks like Luke Skywalker in a gas mask. But that eventually became the basis for the look of the Star Wars films. His original paintings for the Millennium Falcon, for Yavin, the Death Star Trench Run, Hoth, the Cloud City, even the speeders in Return of the Jedi.
And let's not forget, he also designed Indiana Jones.
He designed Indiana Jones. He designed a lot of look in that. He did all those pictures you see of the Ark of the Covenant in those books with him. He designed the spaceships for Close Encounters of the Third Kind and E.T., and he also was the conceptual artist on Cocoon, for which he won an Academy Award.
And great work it is, too. So, yeah, he died this week at 82. Do we know what he died of?
No, but he was getting on. So, yeah. I mean, we probably do know what he died of. I don't have that detail here, but he was getting on. He wasn't looking good in that Empire of Dreams documentary that came out. He was looking a little weary.
Yeah. So. It is a loss, and I was saying to you before that some of his artwork has become almost more iconic than the films themselves, and collectors just go crazy for it.
So. And look, you know, we'll always have his vision and examples of it as long as the original Star Wars trilogy is available. Oh, no, hang on.
Oh, sad face.
Oh, dearie me. Anyway, he will be missed, and it's a terrific loss. Absolutely.
I mean, just looking at the art as I was putting up a piece for it this week, it's just amazing how much he influenced the entire look of that series.
Hmm. Mm. I remember my point, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I was just saying the most amazing thing about that entire viral video for Prometheus is the fact that it's actually on the TED site.
Really?
Yeah, it is on the TED site as a TED video.
Mm.
That's the part that really spun me out, was the fact that they managed to work in cahoots with TED and put it up there. And they don't even say it's Prometheus. They just say Peter Weyland at TED 2023.
Well, maybe there's something we don't know. Maybe in 2023 they create time travel, and really the Alien series is actually a glimmer of what the future is actually going to be. Boom, blew your mind.
There you go. Did blow my mind. Now, blow my mind even more, Josh, and tell me the fact that they're actually making a part three.
Well, that's actually kind of like that's kind of why I brought this up, because Human Centipede is a film that people either love or hate. Most of the world hates,
or haven't seen at all.
Exactly. Now I've been sitting down, and I've actually tried for the third time to sit down and watch Human Centipede, and managed to get all of 45 minutes into it, which I was quite impressed with myself, and didn't turn it off due to grossness, but actually due to boredom. I was kind of like, I see where you're trying to go, but it's the gross factor that gets people through this, not the actual storyline. The main guy is ridiculously creepy, though, and that's actually something that I can see lasting on past the film and so on and so forth. The character, Dieter Laser, I'm sorry if I just massacred your name, dude, but essentially this was the doctor from the first film. And so we've got the first film that came out and shocked people. We've had the second one, which have come out and shocked the world. And not only has it shocked the world, but actually taken an interesting look at lines in horror as a concept. Like, do we kind of like... are we getting a little bit too close to these lines? And it's like, when that film came out and they did a third one, I was like, okay, where are you going to take this? But apparently, and this is going to be interesting, and that's the thing, always interesting concepts. That's why I keep almost watching these films. Apparently, this is going to star both Dieter Laser and Lawrence R. Harvey, who is the guy from the second film. Now, if you're wondering why this is strange, because in the first one, you've got an actor. In the second one, you've got a guy who was watching the original film. So that only leads to the possibility that they're going to have the guy as an actor in the film.
So they're really going to be bending the reality factor here.
But it's an interesting place to take it, at least, I guess, you know.
It couldn't get any less interesting to me, so maybe it'll actually make me watch a third one. I don't know.
I don't know. I think we will be doing a series when I actually get around to finishing one and then starting two. So hold off.
Part three is the fact that they cut, 30 seconds from part two. And they said that they didn't really cut anything that's worse than anything else in the film, but what they did it effectively do was make the film incomprehensible.
Oh, really?
Yes. So I was like, well done, censorship department. Well done.
Yeah. Well, I will let you know when I have sat down and actually bothered to watch these. Dave, tell me about this next story. I'm actually excited about this.
Darren Aronofsky, as we know, got his Noah film greenlit. We're going to run through this one pretty fast because all I'm going to throw out there is Russell Crowe as Noah?
Boom. Another mind blow.
Are you not entertained?
Well, no, he can hold a beard well, and he's starting to look like an old man.
He can hold a beard well.
Hey, I'm sorry, but if you've ever seen any picture of artistic work of Noah ever, it's the beard that captures your eye, not anything else. It's the ginormous beard.
That's absolutely true. And the big boat doesn't hurt, but you know.
It's a boat.
Richard, tell me about Joel Kinnaman.
Well, he's going to play Robocop.
Now, this is funny.
Wait. Because we talked about this last week, and it was just an offer at that stage.
Yeah, it's deadlines come out and actually announced that he's accepted the offer, and he will be playing Robocop.
Now, we talked about this last week, Josh, and we were saying that we weren't really familiar with Joel Kinnaman. What about you, Richard? Do you know this actor?
I'm not. Like, he was in the AMC series The Killing, and that's all I know him from. I've seen bits and pieces of that.
We were reading
I don't really know him at all.
We were reading his filmography last week, and we were going, yeah, I've seen that, but I don't remember him. Yeah, it's like it was really odd. It was like the actor that we've never really known. But
well, there we go. I'm going to have my eye on him for that reason alone.
Well, yeah. Given that most of the film he'll be spent in a helmet, presumably, it doesn't really matter.
Now, Josh.
Yes.
I have to ask, is this a joke?
No, it is not a joke, which is why I brought it up, because I was like, get fucked. Like, I was like, you cannot be serious that it's going to cost that much, and that's what you're giving. Now, guys, we all know Harry Potter, and we all know that there are obsessive fans out there, and we all know that those obsessive fans weren't particularly big fans of the original collections that they kind of put out for the series. It was kind of just all the movies in a box, and they were like,
The discs have been a bit lackluster.
Yeah. Now, okay, so we all know how big Blu-rays are, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they're big. They're about 50 gigs. And that's a lot of storage. You can fit a movie and a whole bunch of extras on there, right?
Right.
And how many films do we have total, Dave?
There's seven, but the last one was split into two, so eight altogether.
Eight films.
That's good maths.
There you go. Yeah. Dave does math.
So, stay tuned next week for another episode of Dave Does Math.
So I stole that from Scott Johnson. I should apologize. That's his little thing. But my math skills are not great, so you know.
So you're ready for the next bit of this?
This is the part that
eight films.
Yeah.
There's eight films, and a Blu-ray disc can hold 50 gigs.
Yeah.
And the Harry Potter Wizards collection is going to include 31 discs.
No way.
Absolutely. Yes.
I know, right?
31 friggin' discs.
And it's going to retail for $4.99 American.
I can afford $4.99. That's about two cups of coffee, isn't it? Oh, you mean $499?
Yeah, $4.99.
Well, you know what? 31 Blu-rays. What's $4.99 divided by 31? Somebody do math quick.
Well, dude, even better if you guys hurry, because obviously all three of us are going to rush out and buy this. You can pre-order at the moment for $349.
Oh, it's a bargain. Let's go for it. I think that's ridiculous. How many discs is that per film, though? That's
only $11 a disc at the cheaper price.
Oh, well, there you go. I can afford that. Not.
I just according to this, it's 18 movie discs. So they've spread and 13 special features discs. So they've spread the eight movies out over 18 discs somehow.
Even Blade Runner doesn't have that many discs in the
It's got Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or as we know it in the English-speaking world, the Philosopher's Stone, has the theatrical version and the extended cut. So that's two. Theatrical and extended cut of Chamber of Secrets, that's four. Then there's Azkaban, Goblet, Order of Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince. Well, that's five, six, seven, eight. 2D and 3D versions of Deathly Hallows Part 1, so that's 10. And the same for Part 2. That accounts for 12 discs. I'm not sure how they get another six movie discs out of that.
Wait a minute. Did you say Deathly Hallows Part 1 and 2 in 3D?
Mm. Yes.
So it's only taken them, what, 2 years to finally finish that conversion?
Yeah, apparently.
Anyway,
Part 1 wasn't in 3D.
The point is, it's mind-blowing. And Dave, can you do me a huge favor for next week's soundboard? Can you get the sound from Scanners where the head explodes? Because yes, I'm starting to need that sound because I'm doing that a lot this show.
As Steve Jobs is wont to say, mind-blown. All right? So there you go. 31 discs. That is the most extreme. Look, I like my box set. What?
Shit.
I like my DVD and my Blu-ray box sets as much as the next person, but I think that may actually have taken it just a bit too far.
Okay.
Next. All right. Ghostbusters 3, how sad are we to hear that it's actually been suspended?
Yeah, well, if Murray's not going to be involved, which is the latest news.
Apparently it is confirmed. Dan Aykroyd has said that Murray won't do it, and the film has basically been put in suspended animation at this point. So they said that they even toyed with the idea of recasting the Bill Murray character. That would have been a really bad idea, but they've opted not to do that. And rumor has it, my favorite story on all of this is a rumor has it that when they sent the script to Bill Murray, he shredded it and sent it back.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that rumor.
Doesn't that sound so Bill Murray, though?
It does. Basically, Bill Murray said that nobody wants to see three fat old men in jumpsuits anymore.
And God bless that man.
So I am actually not too worried about this because I actually wasn't too happy about the idea of Ghostbusters 3 anyway. I think it's kind of past its prime and it was just felt like cash in all over it.
Yeah.
So, look, I think Aykroyd really probably does want to make a good film. Like, he's probably got a lot of love for it, and he's probably seen the amount of love that's around it. So I'm not I wasn't against it happening, but if Murray's out, the film's done.
Absolutely. Murray is the heart of Ghostbusters. So you take him out, it's gone. You know what I mean? All right. So speaking of casting and films, Richard, tell me about my Honey Bunch.
That was the most awkward segue ever, but you've heard of Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, he's that little indie director, wasn't he?
Yeah, he did a film.
He directed a film or two.
And you've heard that film he did, it was a remake of Gus Van Sant's Psycho.
Shot for shot, apparently.
Shot for shot in black and white for some reason. Anyway, they're having another crack at Psycho, kind of, apparently what they're doing is Sacha Gervaisi, who did Anvil, the story of Anvil,
right,
is directing a true story about the Hitchcock's attempts to finance the 1960 horror film Psycho. They've got Scarlett Johansson and James Darcy to play Janet Leigh and Anthony Perkins, respectively. And they're adapting a non-fiction book called Alfred Hitchcock and the Making of Psycho. So it'll be adapted by John McLaughlin, who wrote Black Swan. So bit of kudos there.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it's going to be around the relationship Hitchcock has with his wife, Alma Revel. And Helen Mirren's going to be playing Alma.
Oh,
so
Helen Mirren.
It's interesting. And Anthony Hopkins, I should say, is going to be playing Alfred Hitchcock.
So I want to know, just tell me, please, Scarlett Johansson's going to be naked in the shower, right?
Well, presumably.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Scarlett Johansson in the shower covered in chocolate sauce.
Yeah, I'm there.
And that's film actually news for this week. We don't need to go any further after that.
Boom. All right, we're done. Josh, tell me about the town. What's this Top Gun 2? Tell me.
There is. Forget the news story. Forget all of the news that the story has. I think the most important question and all I want to ask both of you is, who's ready for Top Gun 2?
Not me.
I feel the need. The need.
for speed.
Did you just happen to have that ready?
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have any idea how much I love you sometimes, Richard? The fact that you have that ready just makes me happy in the pants.
Top Gun 2, no thank you.
You don't want to see over six pilots fly again?
Not really.
You don't want to hear them out of lines like, you know, you're my
man. Just
no, because, you know, no.
Need for speed?
No, because what they'll do is they'll cast it now with all the younger generation of today, and I don't really want to see Zac Efron flying a jet. I'm sorry.
I'm looking forward to the other pilot being the witty wisecracker who's played by Ice Cube or Ice-T.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yes.
Did you ever hear the little anecdotes that John Carpenter was actually offered to direct Top Gun and he turned it down because he said it was too gay?
That's it. I'm literally done. Please, let's move on.
All right. All right, let's move on. Richard and I covered this in Behind the Panels, but we couldn't let a film show go by without this. It came out this week. It's the Avengers Trailer 2. Here it is.
War has started. And we are hopelessly outgunned.
Director Fury, I think it's time.
Here with a mission, sir? Trying to get me back in the world?
Trying to save it.
Doctor, I need you to come in.
What if I say no?
I'll persuade you.
I'll bet she will. She would persuade me. That would be Scarlett Johansson in the shower covered in chocolate sauce again. No. All right, well, that's enough.
That's persuasive.
That's persuasive, wow. Man. All right, that trailer goes on. You can go over to geekactually.com or The Real Bits and actually watch it in its entirety. And Josh, what was your impression when you watched it?
No, I'm lying. It was good. It's good. It's good. I'm sorry, guys. I don't do this thing anymore. I wait for the film and I base it as a film. I'm not getting excited. It's a good trailer. I'm going to probably enjoy the film. That's it.
Fair enough, Richard.
Yeah, look, I agree with Josh a lot of the time. I am getting a little over the whole, you know, 14 trailers for a movie thing. But you know, I think you said it best on panels, which was geekgasm.
Geekgasm. Yeah. I have to go clean up my pants a little bit. It is an amazing
trailer. City on.
No, it's true. I had to go take a nap after that one. It's a great trailer. It really is. And look,
I gave up smoking just to take it up again.
I would be shattered if this film is terrible. Can I tell you that? Because at the moment, it's got all the right ingredients. You know what I mean? And you just look at that trailer.
Actually, all the trailer, that's just the first 10 minutes of the film, and the rest of it's just Robert Downey Jr. sitting in a bathtub with chips.
It's Scarlett Johansson covered in chocolate sauce. But, you know, look, I'm really looking forward to it. Can't wait, can't wait, can't wait. And we get it before the Americans. Sorry, I couldn't resist. All right, moving on. Richard.
Hi-Ho Silver, it's finally away.
I can't believe it's actually going ahead.
Yeah, the Lone Ranger's actually started filming. They've announced production start. Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer Films announced that late last week or earlier this week. And what's interesting about this to me was they've released a full press release saying that they've productions have started in Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado, your typical Western vistas. Now, what I found was interesting is that when they in the plot section, they said it's a thrilling adventure infused with action and humor in which the famed masked hero is brought to life through new eyes. Native American spirit warrior Tonto, Johnny Depp, recounts the untold tales that transformed John Reed, Army Hammer, a man of the law, into a legend of justice, taking the audience on a runaway train of epic surprises and humorous friction as the two unlikely heroes must learn to work together to fight against greed and corruption. Greed and corruption, not vampires and werewolves.
Well, that's because they had to trim the budget.
Yeah, they trimmed the budget. They seem to have cut that entire... They've either cut the entire supernatural aspect out of it completely, or...
Well, they're keeping it on the down low, dude.
No, they're keeping it on the down low, but they definitely did cut it back. You heard about the budget cut, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. It's down to... It's 25 cents.
It was something ridiculous, like a $240 million film, and Disney said no. And kiboshed it. So they went and they slashed the budget down to $238 million, and they said, okay.
What?
Exactly. They only trimmed like, it was actually a little bit less than that. I think they literally trimmed like $12 million off the budget, but it's still over $200 million.
Yeah, but Johnny Depp's only getting paid $13.40 now.
So, $13.40 million.
Yeah, look, I just thought it was interesting. It is actually happening. It's going to be a huge film. Look, Disney, like, they're already predicting that John Carter's not going to do too well, and it hasn't come out yet.
I love how they do that. Why can't they just let the film open and see what happens?
Yeah, because it's kind of like they do the predictions, it's not going to open very well. So what happens, everyone hears predictions that it's not going to open too well, it must be crap, we won't go and see it.
Can I also point out that they did actually say that Titanic was going to flop and there was no way it could make its money back?
Yeah, well, there's that.
All right, so I don't buy into this whole prediction thing. Let's see the film open and see what happens. I actually think that John Carter is fighting an uphill battle because it's got a stupid name and they don't know how to advertise it. But other than that, you know, the film has got to be allowed to at least try. I mean, they've already killed this film and it hasn't even opened.
It's true. Yeah. And so, look, you know, if that flops, though, I think we might be seeing some more budget cuts on The Lone Ranger.
Possibly. anyway, well, you know what? This is a Gore Verbinski film as well, and man, just won an Oscar. So he's got a bit of clout. Rango just won best animated film. So he's got a bit of clout behind him right now. So he's also got the Pirates of the Caribbean film, the first three Pirates of the Caribbean films, whether you like them or hate them, it made a buck ton of money.
Well, the last one made over $1 billion.
Yeah, exactly. So he's got clout. And the thing is, Disney can't ignore that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. 3.5 minutes, people.
3.5 minutes. Josh, tell me about this trailer.
Okay, all you need to know is that the trailer looks really, really shit, but I think it's going to be one of those situations where don't turn off the film if you do watch this, because it looks like there's a lot of love in the background for old school horror, and also it's done by the guys that did Coraline, so give it some space. People didn't like the original trailer to Coraline either.
I love stop motion animation. Paranorman actually looks very interesting. So I am curious.
But I use that word, Dave, interesting.
Interesting. Well, and that's the thing. Coraline probably didn't make as much money as it could have because a lot of people went, it's interesting. And Coraline is a great film. So it'd be very interesting to see where this one goes. And last but not least, sad news for us, Richard and Josh and me, because we're all very big fans of it, but Jason Segel will not be returning to The Muppets.
I think the good news is that there will be another Muppets film.
That's true, but Jason Segel was kind of the heart of it, being the writer and the star, and he's not returning as either writer or star for Muppets 2.
You know what? I mean, I don't mind so much about him not returning as a star, because none of the Muppets films to date have had any chronological connection or repeat features from people from the previous films at all.
That's true.
So that's keeping in the Muppet spirit. Like, you know, the Muppets are the central characters, not the humans. The other thing, though, I am disappointed that he won't be writing it, though, because his script to the last Muppets film was fabulous. But he's left that in the capable hands of his writing partner, Nicholas Stoller, and director James Bobman. He's actually said, in words he said, and there's a follow-up article in Collider this week, and he actually said words very similar to, almost identical to the words that he said to me in his interview. So I think he's been practicing this one very well, which was, all I wanted to do was set the stage for them to do whatever they wanted to do. I did what I set out to do, and now I want to pursue more human-related projects. Fair enough.
Yeah,
he spent 5 years making dedicated to the film, between writing, arguing to get it to be brought to life, and actually making it.
Yeah, look, and he did a great job, so congratulations to Jason Segel. I will miss him. And I'll miss his hand on the next film.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's what it really comes down to. He really was the heart and the driving soul of it, and I will miss that. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. He's not going to do it, so nothing we can do about it. Guys, Richard, where can people find out more about you?
They can find me at therealbits.com. That's therealbits.com. They can also find me on Twitter at DVDBits.
Fantastic. Josh, tell us where I can find you.
Oh, right, yeah, on the web. You know, at places like rawdlc.com, I do stuff for that place as well.
Cool.
And also the site called Geek Actually, which is all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's really cool. And it's full of good stuff.
Sweet.
And, go
and funny enough, that's where you can find me. Go to geekactually.com or find me on Twitter at David McVeigh. And that's the news, everybody. Boy, we cut that fine. Boys, see you all again next week. Bye,
see
everyone.
See ya.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game. Nothing further, Your Honor.